Hey, y'all, it's Noxie. Thanks for listening to the Detailed Solutions Podcast. And now, a little bit more about one of our sponsors. Alex, have you heard about the Paint Assassins on Facebook?
No, Noxie. What's that?
I'm glad you asked, you wrinkled little booby. Paint Assassins was started by a dude named Jason Bruno to where detailers can find the camaraderie that they're looking for without any of the negative trolling bullshit like other Facebook groups. Not only that, but they can compete with their work weekly, monthly, or yearly to win prizes. Oh, dude, and they make sick merchandise, so you always have fresh gear to wear.
Whoa.
Anyway, y'all want to check it out? Again, it's Paint Assassins on Facebook or Instagram. Check it out.
Detailers, because of today's industry, because of local customers, you need a robust 3-year coating option. You want it to be a single layer application to save you time. You want it to be extremely durable for daily drivers, but let's be real, few ceramic coating companies have specialized in a single layer 3-year coating option. Therefore, go check out HyperClean. HyperClean Tray is the original single layer slayer that has been outperforming 5-year multi-layer brands since 2016. HyperClean Tray, buy now so you can over deliver. HyperClean Tray can be found on the Detail Supply app.
Hey there, podcasters. What if I told you that there was a product out there that would knock out multiple detailing products? Not only is it the ultimate time and money saver, but produces amazing results and is versatile on almost every substrate. It can also be used in your home or commercial businesses. Gen KO is an all-around multi-cleaner capable of removing light to moderate water spots, grease, and grime. It's safe on surfaces including windows, door jams, paint, mat, PPF and vinyl, rubber moldings, plastic trim, and ceramic coated surfaces. My name is Jennifer Turcotte, and after 22 years in the detailing industry, I'm so proud to have a product that is helping my fellow detailers around the world and others. I've tested Gen KO for more than 2 years before the final ready-to-use product was produced. I'm beyond happy when people reach out and tell me how much the Gen KO helped them, and it can help you too. To get your own, you can contact me directly or go to www.igocoatingsusa.com, contact your local IGL distributor or installer, and pick your bottle up today. And don't forget to share your experience on social media using the hashtag GenKOMix.
Is your car detailing website crashing and burning?
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
You're putting the pedal to the metal,
but not seeing the leads you want?
Bingo.
Keep your detailing website out of the danger zone.
Yes, sir.
Detailers Roadmap is the premier web service for detailers.
You need to be doing it better and cleaner than the other guy. Now, what is it with you?
We build punchy marketing campaigns and cost-efficient websites for detailers designed to get you leads and generate traffic. Custom-built websites start at just $99 a month.
I feel the need for speed.
And unlike other developers, we only work with one industry, yours. Stay out of the danger zone.
Yes, sir.
And cruise on over to detailersroadmap.com and see how we can push your leads into overdrive.
Talk to me, Goose.
That's detailersroadmap.com.
Cougar, you hear that?
Detailersroadmap.com.
Roger.
Welcome to the Detail Solutions Podcast. My name is Alex Russell, and I will be your host. Hey, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Hope everybody had a great time with their family, ate some great food, stayed out of the shops as much as you possibly can. That's what I tried to do. So I didn't want to let you guys down. I didn't have anything planned for this weekend, obviously, because it was Thanksgiving and I knew people would be spending time with their families or out of town or just not really available. So this is an episode that I recorded a couple of weeks ago with Dave Regal after a post that I had done on detailing for money that got some pretty crazy comments and things like that on it. And I didn't put it out that week because we ended up doing something else. And I've been kind of sitting on this trying to find a spot to release it. So this is a what's up, what's on your mind, minus Jason. And it really kind of goes towards, you know, stop detailing for other detailers. You know, detail for your clients, make your clients happy. Who cares if detailers on Facebook don't like what you do? And you'll kind of get that as the story goes on. Dave Regal was an awesome guest, came on and had some good questions and things like that. So I appreciate him coming on and doing that with me. And please go like, share, and subscribe the podcast. Numbers are going up, which is really great. I really appreciate all you guys listening. But again, you know, please tell all your friends about it. You know, we're trying to get more people to listen to us. We're trying to get more people to, you know, push the podcast out there. We feel that we are one of the better podcasts for detailing in the industry, because not only is it fun and entertaining, but it's also informative. And we're trying to get some of the, you know, information that you guys are asking for out there. Also, don't forget to go onto the Detail Solutions podcast discussion page on Facebook. There you can connect with myself and Jason and a lot of the other listeners. You can leave us comments, you know, what you liked about an episode, what you didn't like about an episode, so that we can, you know, only get better. You know, you can make suggestions. If there's a topic that you would love for us to talk about, drop a topic conversation there. If there's somebody that you would love for us to get on the podcast and talk to, please do that there too. I mean, there's a ton of detailers out there that I'd love to talk to, and there's probably even more that I don't even know that I would want to talk to. So that's where I ask for your guys' help and you know, making those suggestions, so that if it's somebody that I don't know, you know, and maybe they're a great person to talk to, then I definitely want to know that. And other than that, I think that is good for the intro, and we'll jump into the podcast. Thank you so much.
So this is, again, like I said, I don't know what I'm doing tonight. It was supposed to be, normally this is a Q&A. I didn't line up a Q&A. We were kind of behind on trying with the UK deal to do a what's on your mind, but I did something fun and crazy, something that I don't normally do, the other day, and it sparked a lot of uproar, I guess would be the word. So I wanted to talk about that. We were going to do it as a what's on your mind. Bruno was going to come on, but his wife surprised him and bought him some Venom tickets. So he was like, deuces, bro, I'm going to see Venom, tell you how it is later. So Dave Regal was nice enough to jump on. He is going to be kind of the voice of the people, I guess, because he was one of the people that had legitimate comments to the fun and wild, crazy thing that I did. I'll get into in a moment. And so I wanted to, I extended the offer if he wanted to come on and ask me questions about it and talk about it. So Dave, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you, Alex?
Oh man, I'm fantastic. So Dave, before we jump into this, man, give the people who don't know you or who you are a little bit of background. You know, who are you? What do you do? Where are you from?
Well, my name is, like you said, Dave Regal. I'm a detailer slash many other things. I'm in central Pennsylvania, where okay. It's a little tough to offer high ticket type work here. I got involved in detailing back probably 2007. As far as on the scope that most of us, the people on the forums today do.
Right.
I've always been a car guy. I've had some body shop experience over the years, painted a few cars, did tons of sanding and buffing. But I never really related that to detailing on the outside of the body shop. Didn't really know that existed until about 2007. Gotcha. I had a friend, he helped me out with a new used car to me. And out of gratitude for the gift, I thought the best I could do would be to take care of that car. So I went online looking for answers, and I discovered the detailing forums back in 2007 or so.
Right.
And it was pre-auto geek and all that stuff. But yeah, that's where I got started, and started with the name Tuscarora Dave.
Nice. And you kind of go back to the Fermani, Todd Helm, Eddie Fuza type era of that kind of detailing with the forums and stuff, right?
Yeah. Those guys were very instrumental in helping me to learn this craft.
Nice.
I mean, when I first started to try to learn this stuff, Mike Phillips was still with McGuire's. He hadn't jumped over to Auto Geek at that point, but I was still following him on McGuire's online.
Wow.
And learning a ton of stuff from Mike. And Fermani was definitely a big guy in the forum world, along with Barry Thiel.
Yeah.
Todd Helm, I don't even know if he was really even in the public eye at that point. I mean, he was just coming in about the same time I was.
Yeah, I think he was still wet behind the ears at that time.
Well, it never appeared to be that way with Todd, because he came out hard and heavy, kind of like Kevin Brown did with the PowerPoint presentation.
Right. Yeah.
And everything he put out in the public eye was just incredible.
And
incredibly detailed. But you know, it was a different time back then. There was a lot more, I would say, smaller groups where...
Right, because it wasn't as big as it is now. It's not like you can walk outside and throw a rock and you're going to hit a detailer back then. I mean, shoot, I remember having Fermani and Todd and Brian Guy on here, and them talking about, you know, being here in Florida, and you know, like, those guys are driving 300-500 miles up and down the state because there weren't really any detailers doing what they were doing. There weren't really any detailers, I guess, doing any of that at the time.
Yeah. You know, it was a real paradigm shift for me, going from the way I had been doing things prior to finding the detailing discussion forums.
Yeah.
You know, for me, it was just, hey, what can I find at Walmart? You know, I was out there shining cars up and making money doing it, but I was using plastic wax spreaders, you know, because I didn't know that something existed outside of the body shop, which was always air operated. You needed a 100-gallon compressor to run those tools.
Yeah.
You know, so out here in the private world or whatever, I mean, we had, I knew about were the electric tools that I could pick up for $40 at Walmart. And I was doing so much with them that I literally caught them on fire. I mean, back then we had, McGuire's had a thing called Deep Crystal, and it was one, two, three step. It was a paint cleaner, a polish, and a wax. And going through all those steps, trying to remove blemishes and swirl marks and scratches, I don't think it was actually made for that, but it was all I knew. So, I mean, when I say literally caught these tools on fire, it's like first the smoke, the heat where I had to wear gloves, and then the sparks, and then the actual catching on fire, which, you know, the kind of guy I am, I want to stand there and watch the thing and see what it's going
to
do. So
don't try to save it.
I didn't even unplug it. I just watched it melting down in the actual flames in the driveway. But for me now, I started doing my own cars, and I was getting, you know, pretty decent results, actually, even though, and in fact, I had to raise my price to $75 to account for two of those polishers for every job, because I knew I was going to catch two of them on fire. I knew that wouldn't be an efficient way of doing things. So at the time, I had my very first computer. Google wasn't a thing back then. Ask Jeeves was what you did back then. So I asked Jeeves, what's the most expensive car polisher in the world? And I figured, hey, you know, I'm putting some money in the coffee can here doing these jobs. Let me see what money will buy in the way of, you know, you get what you pay for. And the first thing that came up was Cyclo Toolmakers.
Yep.
You know, which
the old dual heads.
When I listen to like Kevin Rose and guys like that, you know, most guys started with rotary. When I heard Kevin Rose started with a cyclo,
it kind of
put some things into proper perspective.
I'll tell you what, man. I hated those machines. I still hate them to this day, and I haven't used one in friggin' probably almost 20 years. The first car wash I started at was a local owned, a couple of guys owned it. And that's where I started detailing, you know, rotary, buff and waxes, you know, interior details, all that fun stuff. And then they were bought out by what ended up becoming Wash Depot, which Wash Depot is what most people know as Simonized Car Washing or car washes, because Wash Depot leased the name Simonize from the chemical manufacturer Simonize to put on their car washes, because, you know, hey, everybody knows Simonize as, you know, hey, go get your car Simonized, you know, I just got it Simonized, you know, kind of deal. So like it was a smart thing for them to do. But when they did it, they got rid of all of our rotaries, and they gave us all dual heads, the old cyclos. And I'll tell you what, like, at least this is like 97. The technology and chemicals and pads and stuff was not, to me at least, not there compared to what we were being able to do with a rotary. So I hated those machines because they couldn't cut worth a shit as far as I was concerned.
Yeah, well, I started to learn about chemicals because of that.
Yeah.
You know, because it really was taking so long to cut the defects that it forced me to go out and look online, also where I found the machine in the first place.
Right, right, yeah.
City store, which is no longer, but they carried, they're like, you know, like most of your online vendors now, they carried a lot of different brands.
Gotcha.
And it was just this whole thing like, oh my God, what do I buy? But it was that, not knowing what to buy. And when I was looking, I did see a tab that said forum. So my very first question was, how do I get this wax off this windshield?
Yeah.
You know, and I look back on that now, knowing what I know today, and I think, geez,
yeah.
I guess we all have to start somewhere.
Right. So here's the question, right? So for somebody who was in those forums, you know, kind of in their infancy or toddlerish stages or whatever, the way that I think of it, and I could be totally wrong, but you probably didn't have the trolling that you do today in Facebook groups.
Not much at all. And the ones right. that did troll, I mean, the admins were on top of it.
Right. So right.
I knew one guy, I still know him today. He was kicked off of every platform, and he would just change his name to.
Right, to get back in, yeah.
One time he changed it to the clone, you know, which nobody knew what the clone was until I started to read carefully what he was saying, and I knew right away.
Right, right.
Private messages, you're the clone, aren't you?
Yeah, so that kind of leads to what I did this week, which I guess falls under the terms of trolling, because I was fishing. Right. I wanted to see what I would get. So I'm going to kind of give the full story. The full story is basically what I put on Facebook, but I kind of shortened it right for Facebook because, you know, whatever. So for anybody who is listening to this and is like, Alex, what the fuck are you talking about? So I posted a video in Paint Assassins this week of a vehicle that I was working on. And I posted it in Paint Assassins because I knew I would get giggles, right? I knew the people in Paint Assassins know me, they would giggle about it. So in Paint Assassins, I would say probably 80, 90% of the comments were giggles. There was that 10, maybe 20% that was like, what the fuck did you just do, right? So I started thinking about it, and I said, you know, there's probably another fun group I could put this in, and I probably will blow a lot of people's minds. So I did. I put it in DFM, Detailing for Money, if anybody wants to go look at it. And it did exactly what I was hoping for it to do. It blew people's minds. People were beside themselves in this video. So the story goes, about a month and a half back, really, 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 really good client of mine. The first car I did for this gentleman was his Lamborghini Huracan. We ceramic coated it. He absolutely loved the way that I did the car. He has since brought me in the past three and a half years, between his immediate family, being him, his wife, his daughter, his oldest daughter, who got a car last year. And then his business partner, his brother-in-law, his father and stepmother, and I don't know, a few other people. I would say I have probably done about 10 to 12 ceramic coating jobs, plus some little whatever jobs for this client of mine. Really good client, loves the work that I do, is absolutely pleased with everything that I do. Even when he got his GT4 Club Sport race car, and I was first doing PPF, and he said, hey, I want to be your first client. And I said, man, I don't know what the hell I'm doing, especially on a Porsche. He goes, I don't care. He goes, I could take it to the track next week and crash it into the wall. He's like, at least if you put PPF on it, I know it's protected from, you know, the rubber, the rock chips and the rubber debris from the tires and all that stuff. So he goes, I don't care what it looks like. And it looked like absolute garbage. But you know what? To this day, he still has it on there. He does not care. It's protecting the car, right? He loves my work. So he calls me up and he says, hey, Alex. He says, I got something I don't know if you can help me with. He said, we've got this. Another part of the backstory. He owns a construction company. Okay. So he says, we've got this work truck that we took from, you know, one of our guys left. And it's got a lot of miles on it. It's pretty beat up. You know, we don't know if we want to give it to somebody else. We might just try and sell it, right? Like used car, used truck market is just stupid right now. He's like, you know, it's probably a $2,500 truck, but right now I might be able to get $5,000 or $6,000 out of it. I said, okay, well, what do you want to do to it? And he goes, it's black. He goes, I just want it to be shiny. He goes, I don't care what you put on it. I don't want to spend a lot of money. You know, just clean up the inside, give it a good vacuum, clean up the door panels and stuff like that. And I said, okay, so maybe just like a wash and like a wash and a wax and whatever on the inside. And he's like, yeah. I said, you know, what's your budget on it? And he's like, listen, man, he goes, I don't want to spend more than $200. He goes, honestly, I don't even want to spend $200. And I said, well, you're not going to hurt my feelings if you go and find one of these guys who will probably do everything that you want for like $100, $150 or something like that. And he goes, I know, Alex, but you know, you're my guy. I love the work that you do. Even if it's $200, I want to give it to you. And I said, okay, well, if we're talking $200, that's your number you keep throwing out there. If I know you don't want to pay that, but if you'll pay it, I said, I will do a wash and wax. I said, I'll go find, I said, I don't really do waxes because I do, you know, most of everything I do is a silica sealant or spray sealant or something like that. I said, I'll go find a super oily, greasy, silicone filled wax that'll make the black truck shiny. And I said, I'll vacuum out the interior. I'll clean the door panels. You know, I'll make it look good. I'll do it for $200. I mean, I'd probably normally charge somebody $350, $400 for that. But for you, man, you've helped me out so much. I really appreciate it. Yeah, let's do it. So getting the truck to me from the shop was going to be kind of a pain in the ass for him. So he kind of pushed it off, and then didn't say anything about it. And I thought I had dodged the bullet. Until this week, he called me up and he said, hey, man, remember that truck we were talking about? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, I'm not going to sell it now. we're going to give it to another guy, but we still want to get it cleaned up. And oh, by the way, there's some scratches on the bed. I want to see if you could take a look at. And I'm like, well, what are we talking about? And he's like, it's not anything you're probably gonna be able to fix with a buffer. I mean, he's like, they're pretty bad. They've been there for a bit. I forgot to mention it last time. They've got some rust on them. You know, it's where somebody hit something or whatever. So I was like, all right, well, I'll look at it when you bring it in. So he brings it in, and the thing is like, the scratches on the bed are, I don't know, maybe a foot by a foot or so. And I'm like, what do you want me to do with this? I said, I can't touch up paint that. The scratches were too thick, too wide. Like, no. Like, touch up paint's just not going to work. He goes, Alex, I don't care what you do. Just cover it up. So as a joke, I go, so what do you want me to do? You want me to like rattle can it? And he's like, that's perfect. Do it. He said, I don't even care if it's a different color. Just as long as that area, I don't see it anymore. And I'm like, but you're going to see it because it's rattle can. He goes, again, I don't care. I just don't want to see the scratches. I don't want to see the rust. And again, this is a $200 detail. Okay. That's the important part, people. We have to remember this is a $200 detail that is probably already discounted $150 to $200 because it's a really good client. And if the client wants, then the client shall get. So I proceeded to do the interior on the vehicle, hating myself the whole time because it was a little bit dirtier. Again, it's a construction truck. It's even just vacuuming it was a pain in the ass. So I wash it. After I do the interior, I wash it. And I'm looking at these scratches. I'm like, oh God, I've got my black spray paint. I tape it up. I take a picture and I text it to him. And I said, are you sure you want me to spray paint this section? And I go and I sit in the chair in the corner and I wait 10 minutes. Yep, do it. All right. Shaky, 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 shaky of the can, pop the top, set up my camera because I'm like, man, this is going to really, really mess with some detailers. I start spraying. So I posted the video on Paint Assassins. Again, I got more laughs than I got anything else. Probably the few things I got on Paint Assassins was, is this real? Are you serious? One guy even said, I don't pay attention a lot in this group, so I don't know if to take this serious or not. And everything that I replied back with was, I'm absolutely serious. So then I got I guess a little froggy, and then that's when I posted in detailing for money. And then that's when it really kind of shit hit the fan, right? So I got a lot of comments from people that were like, hey, you gave the client exactly what he asked for. Don't see anything wrong with it. All the way to somebody was telling me that they couldn't believe that I did that. Even when I replied and said, but that's what the customer wanted. They said, yeah, but it devalues the quality of your work. Which my reply back was, I know the quality of my work. My client knows the quality of my work. This is what he wanted. He paid for that. He got it. So my purpose for that post and kind of the topic of this, what's on your mind, not what's on your mind kind of episode is stop detailing for detailers. I mean, we say it all the time. It's in all the forums, it's in all the Facebook groups, but we don't we don't listen to it, right? Everybody wants to detail for other detailers. You might not agree with what I did. You might not even think that I'm a good detailer because I did that. But at the end of the day, did you pay me? Or did my client pay me? Because my client paid me to do a job that I did. He was extremely happy with how it came out and even paid me more than the $200 he didn't want to pay me that he was going to pay me. He paid me more. So the whole point of this post, this rant, whatever, is to stop detailing for detailers. Detailers don't pay you. I don't care if you're the best detailer in the world. I don't care if you're the shittiest detailer in the world. If your clients are happy with you and your clients are paying you money to keep your doors open, those are the ones. Those are the ones. Those are the only ones. Now, I'm guilty of sometimes working a little extra harder on something that maybe I shouldn't have, because I think it'll make a great before and after. It'll make a great post. I want to show off, you know, whatever. But at the end of the day, I still know that the detailers and Facebook groups are not paying the bill. The client is. So Dave was one of the few, maybe the only one really, to make a comment that questioned why I did what I did, but at the same time understood why I did what I did. So that's why I invited Dave on this podcast. So Dave, I'm going to give you, now that I've told the story, now that I've kind of had my little rant, I'm going to open it up to you to ask the questions you want to ask, to say what you want to say, and we can have a little back and forth on this.
Sounds good. Yeah, it's but now that I've heard the whole story behind it, it definitely changes the dynamics of it all.
Exactly. And again, when I made the post, I still gave the story, but I just shortened it up. I mean, I gave the Cliff Notes version of it, but either way, I mean, I still said the same kind of things. Client wanted, client got.
Right. And the very first thing that I read was your tag up above. It was, I knew it was a joke about the coding, because the question was,
oh yeah, that was yeah,
just
that
yesterday was, and yeah. How long do I wait before I code it? So it,
yeah, kind of, that was a separate post though. That was a separate post though.
Yeah. Right, that's the first one that I saw. So yeah. I'm like, okay, well, this is just a junkyard panel that he's done this on. And and then when I it may have been the other post that highlighted your client saying, I don't care how you do it, I just don't want to see the white in the scratches.
Yeah.
And then, you know, looking at the finished work with the floor mats taped across the up the side and across it and that line, you know, it's like I had to stop and question myself as I was asking my questions. I was trying to be as polite as possible because I love your podcast, and I think you seem like it's such a nice guy. And the last thing I want to do is offend you or appear to be a dick on a forum or a group that I just joined.
Right.
Which, you know, it's been quite refreshing to find that forum, because it, you know, I don't know Jason Bruno. I haven't spoke to him yet, but I like his character. And
yeah.
You know, I'm from a military family. I'm the first not to serve, but, you know, to be a sniper and go through some of the things that he's gone through that I've read about or heard him say, it gives me pause, you know, where I sit and I think about the man himself and what he's all about, you know, and and to see a kind of the mission statement of the group as being a place where we don't flame each other and there's camaraderie. And I look at that as like, wow, this is a cool place to be where maybe we pull each other up.
Right. You know? And again, the true testament to that group is the fact that I did post that. And like I said, you know, 90 to 95% whatever chuckled, right? They know me. They know that it was posted in jest, you know, they went with it. But then you have Detail for Money where people don't know me as well. They don't know, listen, if somebody else would have posted that, I would have been laughing my ass off of my stool as I'm wheeling around the car, right? Like, I would know that that's a post done in jest. Whether it was done, you know, as some people thought, you know, like it's a junkyard car or it was my car or whatever, or if they really think that it was a client's car, which it was, if I saw that and saw that thing, I would laugh my ass off. But you know, some people in that group just couldn't take it for what it was. And they tried to, I guess, interject their detailing ego or their detailing superiority to make me feel bad for what I did. And I don't feel bad. I got paid. At the end of the day, that's all that matters, is I got paid, you know? I mean, we're just car washers, right? Some of us are a little fancier than others. But at the end of the day, I think, and I might take some flack for this next statement, a majority of people, and I'm going to use people versus clients because our clients do know what we do and the work that we do, things like that. But a majority of the general public doesn't view us any differently than the people working at a car wash. To them, we all do the same thing. We clean and make a car shiny.
Right. Yeah. Well, there's, you know, I mean, people who don't do that for a living or do this for a living, you know, we all do different stuff. It's like my experience is a lot different than what I see on the groups, especially like Paint Assassins. You know, I'm just kind of learning about guys like Aaron Knox and you know, some of the guys that are posting really great before and afters and some really, really high-end vehicles that they're working on. And they look awesome. You know, it's just such an unusual post to see compared to what I normally see. And I had to stop myself at one point today and say, Dave, why can't you let this alone? You know, and I just, like, I would read your reply and I would think about it. I'd be like, but, you know, going through my own, writing my own scripts in my head today, sitting on the shitter, you know, like, well, maybe I should just let it alone. But, like I said, I wasn't trying to break your balls, but.
No, I know you weren't. That's why I wanted you to come on. That's why I invited you on, because again, you had legitimate questions and concerns, but at the same time, you understood.
Right. And I've had actual clients come to me with scratches like that. And with the, you know, in their head, they knew coming in that they could be buffed out. And I have to explain to them, well, you can't buff paint back onto a car.
Yeah.
You know, you just kind of give them a rundown on how buffing works. And
right.
And
then, listen, there's some scratches. It doesn't matter how much heat you put into it. You're not blending the paint back together again.
Right. You know, and most of my clients around here that I deal with, they really don't know anything about any of the processes. Because, you know, we don't have a lot of Ferraris and stuff like that. But I mean, we're just now starting to see some high-end detailers, your Bentley detailers, your Maserati detailers, dealerships. We're starting to see these dealerships spring up around here. So that's kind of cool. But mostly up here, we're polishing turds, you know, and myself, I'm more, in the last 10 years, I've worked on more buses and handicap vans and things. I mean, these folks are in a wheelchair, most of them. And you know, I actually have met a few that do polish and wax their own cars, but
right.
for the most part, you know, they're baby boomers. They're just worried about how am I getting to dialysis, and we can't have a van that's not working. So right. you know, I transitioned a little bit into the wheelchair lift and ramp technology and doing those repairs. But at the same time, they don't have time to clean the vans either. And yeah. they do get ridden hard and put away wet. So to see scratches like that, I mean, it's a commonplace thing in what I do. And I guess in the end, when I was posting what I was posting, my reactions, I was maybe trying to crack a door open to create an opportunity to share the way I would maybe have done that.
There's a lot of ways that it could have been handled. I mean, you're for the people out there that were like, oh, you should have said no. You're right. I could have said no. But you know what? Then what does that do to my client of 3.5-4 years who's fed me a huge amount of work, right? What does that tell him? Like, oh, the next time he wants a car done, I might say no, you know? Yeah, I could have maybe prepped the area better, right? Like some people were like, oh, you should have at least, you know, scuffed it down with some wet sanding and hit it with a rotary before you did it or whatever. Again, yeah, maybe if he was willing to pay more than $200, you know, the ultimate result would have been like, dude, take it to the body shop and get it fixed, right? But again, that would have not just been one little area. It would have been the whole side of the bed. It probably would have cost them more than the truck was worth. So, yeah, there's a lot of ways it could have been handled.
Right. Right. And I understand, you know, when you're in that interior, kind of getting soured up, like, darn, I wish I would have. Could do this for more than $200. This is dirtier than, they're always dirtier than you expect them to be, almost.
Right.
At least around here. So, you know, I go through that in my own mind. I thought I was done giving my work away. You know, I've paid my dues over and over and over. And here I'm still, you know, doing this for way less money than what I deserve. And you come out of the whole deal, the customer's happy, you collect whatever it is that you're collecting, and you know what, you live on to do another car for them down the road, and that's great. And I've done a lot of jobs like that, and I guess what I was thinking when I saw it was like, of course, how I would have done it, and I don't want to force anything on anyone, but I do like being involved in a process of helping people.
Yeah.
And you know, for $200 overall interior, exterior, you know, wash and wax. I mean, geez, I wouldn't really want to do that alone for $200.
Listen, those carpet mat lines were probably, you know, the taped up lines were pretty crisp. That's what I gotta say. That was probably the crispest thing on that whole vehicle were those tape lines.
Yeah, that's what, like, that's what was grinding inside of me with his
I know, somebody had mentioned, like, you know, like, oh, you shouldn't have taped it off and you should have blended it. Again, I don't spray paint anything really. I mean, like, somebody was critiquing my the way I sprayed, like the pattern, like the my arm movement. Again, this is something I don't do. Like, you know, if I was going to be doing it a lot, you know, or if I was charging correct money, then yes, I probably would have taken a before picture and got onto Detailing for Money or Paint Assassins or one of the other groups and said, hey, this is my situation. What's my best option for it? But again, the client didn't want to pay any money. He didn't give a shit. He even told me, he's like, I don't care if you got a different color. I just don't want to see that, you know?
Yeah, when you said that about not caring about a different color, it's like, okay, well, that washes away all the thoughts I had all day long about those lines, you know, because
yeah.
Hey, if you would have spray painted it aquamarine, instead of black, and he would have been happy with that. You know, yeah. Who cares about those lines? You know,
I mean, I was like, look, I'll go get black spray paint. I mean, it'll at least be black. I mean, you know, and he's like, Alex, I don't care. He goes, I just don't want to see him.
At first I thought, well, that must be that rubberized stuff that you can peel off. He's just messing around with the people.
What is that stuff called? Stupid.
Yeah, guys do wheels and stuff.
Yeah. Plasti dip. That's what it is. Plasti dip.
Yeah, that's it. But yeah. I thought maybe it was just something you were screwing around with everybody. No. I'm just going to peel it later. But yeah, I get it, man. I get it. I mean, hey, if he doesn't care that, you know. Yeah.
I mean, and listen. End of the day, the other thing that everybody has to remember is this is a construction work truck with like over 200,000 miles. They're handing it to another construction worker who is just going to beat it the fuck up even more.
Right, yeah.
It's not a brand new Ferrari. Hell, it's not even a brand new Dodge pickup truck to, like, you know, for people to be that upset about. But at the end of the day, you know, I don't do a lot of those types of posts. I'm not a big fan of trolling in the groups. I think there's some groups out there that are kind of known for it that I absolutely despise. I hate even looking in those groups and things like that. I really like Detail for Money for some of what it's worth. I think there's a lot of, you know, trolling in that group too, which I just, you know, I put my blinders on when I'm scrolling and I scroll past a lot of that stuff. But I was looking for content. I had an idea. I had a thought that I've been wanting to talk about for a long time about not detailing for other detailers. And I just didn't know like what, how to talk about it on the podcast. So when this came up, I thought, well, this is my troll post. Let's see how people react to this. And then as the comments came on, and I just giggled to myself like a little schoolgirl, right? Like, oh my God, I can't believe these people are really, you know, and I'm trying to just reply with the best, you know, GIFs that I can. You know, the Ryan Reynolds absolutely not one when anybody asked me, you know, did you do this or did you do that, or please tell me this is, you know, fake. You know, that GIF got used a lot in that post because I thought it was hilarious and I was laughing my butt off as I was reading all those. But then it sparked, I said well, there's my detailing for detailers little tag for the podcast. Because it was a perfect example. Again, like I said earlier, I mean, I did exactly what the client asked for, wanted, and appreciated after the fact. That to all the people in both of the groups, that, you know, the majority in Detailing for Money and a small minority in Paint Assassins that even questioned what I did, I'm sorry, I don't give a fuck about what your comment was, because it doesn't matter. You're not paying the bill. If you were paying the bill and you said, hey, Alex, I want you to sand it down first or hit it with a rotary, or I think you could, you know, get a pen and you know, draw those lines in and make it more uniform, make it prettier, and you're paying the bill, then by all means, I am doing that for you. But when the client says, I don't give a fuck what it looks like, just as long as I can't see the rust, and the scratches, you know, like somebody said, oh, well, you know, the rust is still going to be there. It'll still spread. And what, doesn't matter. He just didn't want to see it. He wanted it covered up. It could rust completely out. He'll have to deal with it down the line. By then, the truck will probably have too many miles on it. He'll just sell it, scrap it, whatever. But that's what I wanted to get across in this podcast is there's too many detailers in this industry, good detailers in this industry, young detailers in this industry that don't know any better, trying to trying to come up, and they go into these detail groups, and they're just either getting trolled when they ask a question because they don't know any better, you know? And I think and I'm going to give him a plug, man, because he's been on a friggin' rant lately. My boy Billy over at ADG, he said it best, I think, earlier today in one of his posts, is the young people or the new people coming in asking these questions, the replies they're getting, the trolls that they're getting, the negative whatever, misleading misdirection, it's because it's from newbies themselves or people that don't know the correct information. And I think he's 100% right on that, because the people in this industry that I know the answers, they're not in these groups. They're not talking in these groups. And if they are, they will give you the answer you need. It's going to be short and it's going to be sweet. And that's it, because that's all the time that they have for it. So for those new people, for the people that don't know any better, or they're unsure, the good detailers that are out there, stop worrying about what other detailers are going to say about your post. At the end of the day, was your client happy? And did they hand you a stack of cash, a credit card, a check, however you take payment? Because that's all that matters. Detailers are not putting food on your table. So stop right now. Yeah, Dave, I'm gonna give you some final words, man, and then I think I'm kind of done beating this horse.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with you on the same page there. I mean, it's been years, honestly, since I trained myself not to care what other detailers thought.
And it's hard. It's hard, right? Because you know, the one thing I always say is, you know, the client can be happy, but they don't know what we did, and the detailers, your peers do, right? So you do want that pat on the back from your peers, but it doesn't mean your peers have to be so negative about it, right? Just, hey, you did a great job, move on, you know, or hey, you know, you did good, but let me give you a little tip. Let me give you a little help. Stop being so negative, but go on, finish your statement. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I was just thinking, you know, it's been a long time. I used to struggle with giving two craps what another detailer thought. And 99% of what I do, it never hits a post in a photograph. Yeah. You know, like you said, I may work too hard to try to get a great 50-50 shot or something. But for me, you know, it's more to show the client, the prospective client, like, hey, take a look at this. This is what it looked like before. This is what it's going to look like when I'm done with it.
Right.
Hey, Monday morning, I polished one of the biggest turds I've touched in a long time. You know, it's going to get a coat of Marty's ceramic in the end. It's black, and it's huge. Hugely marred up, scratched rock chips all over it. I mean, kind of along the lines of what you posted,
right?
With the spray paint gig, you know.
You gonna spray paint them rock chips?
No, I told him I wouldn't even waste my time with the rock chips. At first, I told him just take it to a body shop, have them respray the whole hood, and you know, I could tell he didn't want to do that. So I said, okay, well, let me have at it, and I guarantee you, I'm going to do a two-step on this. We agreed on a price. He agreed to pay me much more than I thought he would. Nice. And it's going to get a wool pad with a heavy compound, and the money that he's willing to pay is going to also cover the cost of polishing things up and putting the coating on. So and it's not a huge car, but I think I'm going to take a little time and do a tape off on the trunk lid or something there.
Yeah.
And get a before and after, because I haven't done it in a long time, and I'm new to Paint Assassins, and I don't even know how that works as far as posting those photos. I don't know that I need to be in the contest or whatever, but I think it would be worthy, like a before and after on this one, as bad as it is. I'll probably post at least one photo.
Yeah.
But But no, I, you know, it is all about, hey, I got paid, the money's in the bank, the bills are paid this month. The client's going to come to me with another vehicle.
Yeah. And again, listen, at $200, bills aren't paid on $200. Food's not put on the table with $200. But you know what? That client, as much as he's loved me before, he's going to love me even more now. He's going to keep bringing me his cars. He's going to keep referring people to me. So that $200 is my seed, right? Like, that's, even though he's already given me thousands of dollars over the years, that $200 is just planting another seed with him that he's going to keep coming back. And listen, I didn't take any pictures of that vehicle before, after, or whatever, other than the video I did, or the picture after that then was the second troll in Pain Assassins about, you know, how long do I wait before I code it.
That was good.
You know, and I told him, don't tell anybody I did this truck. I don't want people, right. I don't even want people to know I did that truck, you know?
That's what, like, I was thinking about.
Yeah, he even told me, he's like, look at you, man, you're painting body now. I said, no, I'm not. Don't you ever tell anybody that I did this. You know, see, here's the other thing, is he understands that I did a job to his expectations that were much lower than my expectations. He knows the pain that I endured doing that truck the way that he wanted, because it wasn't the way I wanted to do it. But again, he was not going to pay. God, I probably would have charged him $1,000 just to do a proper interior detail on that, clay off all the overspray that was all over that fucking truck, and then compound and polish it out before we even talk about rattle canning the scratches, right? And that's what hurt, was because that's what I wanted to do and I couldn't. But, you know, again, he was happy. I didn't post any pictures of it. Nobody knows that I did it except for the people in the Pain Assassins group, or the Detailing for Money group, or people that are listening to this podcast that are probably have paused it a long time ago to go into one of those two groups to see the video.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go to the other group now, because, hey, you know, who doesn't like a little drama, you know?
Check the other side out. I'm telling you, man, those Detailing for Money boys, man, they friggin' lost their mind. It wasn't in Detailing for Money. It was in Pain Assassins, but Dave Fermani caught a 3-day ban for commenting on the video. He said, time to burn that sumbitch down. And Facebook pulled the comment for violation of community guidelines and gave him a 3-day ban.
Oh, that's a shame, because you know there's love behind that comment.
There absolutely is. And he was right. It probably is. When it's that far, it's probably time to just, you know, for it to disappear, and, you know, fire marshals to be contacting owners and saying, hey. But yeah. It is.
Right, yeah. Hey, Alex, I want to thank you for having me on the podcast. This has been fun.
Yeah.
You know, I know you wanted to try to keep it at a certain amount. I feel like it's going well over that, but
it has, but you know what? It is what it is, man. And I told you that from the beginning. You know, a lot of these are, you know, I kind of have an idea of time frame, and sometimes they go over, and I'm fine with that, as long as it's good content and as long as people end up listening. I appreciate you coming on, because I really wanted to do this. We were supposed to do it last night. Bruno canceled on me or had to postpone. I hit him up today. I was like, man, I really need to put something out. I haven't really put anything out since Sunday. And because we didn't, with the whole mess up with the UK versus USA deal, we weren't able to get, you know, the whole thing done in one night like we had planned. for them to be able to put their part out this week along with our part. I got sponsors that, you know, they pay some pretty good money. They want to make sure their ads are getting out. So I got to put something out. And if you hadn't come on, this would have been kind of weird just talking to myself. Thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it. You know, I mean, I see you in the pub, over on Marty's podcast. You always have some good stuff to say. You've always had some good comments to me about the podcast. So I really appreciate that. So yeah, man, thanks for coming on. We'll have to have you on for like a proper episode one time or something.
I'd be willing to do that. You know, I don't run a big thriving business with a bunch of employees, but I've been around a long time. I have a lot of experience at from one end of the industry the whole way to, a whole different view on that most people don't see. But I'm always willing, and I'm very social. You know, I like to come up with such things.
No, I mean, like I said, in the pub, you always have good stuff to say, and you know, in your comments on the podcast, you always have some real nice things to say. And listen, man, it doesn't matter if you're big, got employees, don't got employees, do it part time, do it full time. That's the beauty of my podcast. I don't want to take anything away from anybody else's detailing podcast, but the beauty of my podcast was the whole thing that the whole reason this started was for me to get out and meet people and learn about people. And I don't care if it's, you know, the guys and the girls that are just starting out or the guys and the girls that have been in it before before everybody kind of deal. I just enjoy doing this and getting people's message out or their stories out. So yeah, man, absolutely. We'll have to have you back on.
Well, I appreciate that. I really do love the podcast.
Thank you.
You know, sitting on those boards and reading all the stuff and commenting like I did earlier today is typically something that is it's a liability in my life. What I do, I like to just put my earpiece on, tune into your podcast. I listen while I'm polishing and compounding and cleaning the interiors or whatever. It's just, it's something I have a passion for. So I just, I love it, especially when you have the old timers on that I know, you know.
I know. Cool. And I'm working on some of those guys you suggested. I talked to both of the Rons. One Ron was iffy about it, and the other Ron, and I forget their names, but
Ron Harris.
I don't even remember which one was which. So one of the Rons was iffy about it, and I told him, well, it's an open invitation, you let me know, here's the link if you want to listen to some episodes. And then the other Ron was going to talk to his partner Anthony.
Yeah, that's Ron Harris. Okay. Yeah, the other one was Ron Ketchum. They call him old grumpy. I didn't think he would want to come on.
So then the other Ron was going to talk to his partner Anthony and get back to me, and I haven't heard from him, and I got kind of busy and didn't message him back. And you know, with this whole UK versus US thing, you know, now pushing into our part of it going this week coming up, and then I'm going to be away for training next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday when I would normally do an episode. So I've got to figure out how I'm going to do that. If I'm going to try to do one Thursday before I go, or we just won't have one that week for Sunday night. I'm not sure what I'm doing yet. Like I've said before on this podcast, the problem is I don't have enough time to talk to the people I need to talk to. So it's like, you know, somebody doesn't get back to me, it's okay. There's plenty of time down the line, because right now it's, you know, I feel like booking this podcast is like booking my shop. You know, I get 2, 3, 4 weeks out, and I hate to try to schedule people that far out for the podcast, because then shit comes up and then people, you know, don't have the time for it. So yeah, Dave, I appreciate it, man. We'll get you on another one. We'll do it right. You know, go check out the Detailing for Money post. You'll get a kick out of some of the things that people are saying in there now that you've kind of gotten the full story. Even though, again, I felt like I posted enough vital information on both of those. I mean, they were the same post on both pages. But yeah, man, until next time, I'll talk to you later.
Okay, Alex. Thanks. Have a great night.
Thanks, man. You too. Bye.
All right. Bye.